are we announcing to the congregation this evening?
Probably not till
Sunday. Not till next Sunday?
Probably. Okay. I mean, there's not that many people here tonight.
Right.
Good evening, everyone. It's time for us to begin. I'd like for everybody to turn to 292. 292. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that has done to sin for me, his saving grace is nigh. I know that he will come again to take me up on high. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that over yonder stands a priestly pair. with him, most wonderful to see. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Hey, James.
Yes.
Did you realize you were singing that one on your own?
Yes, I did.
You said 292, it was 282.
I apologize for that. I thought I said 282.
Okay. I thought I had a wrong song book.
We got through it.
Give us a little
261.
More, give us a little more time, too, James.
What number?
261.
And what's the name of the song?
I Am Mine No More.
Okay, all right.
And I forgot to do that, too. I thought you guys knew it. 261. After this, we'll ask Charles Wall to lead us in a word of prayer. 261. I Am Thine, O Lord.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it holds thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up in a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single life that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I consume this friend's prayer. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Let's all stand for prayer, please.
May be seated.
At this time, I'd like to mark 701. Tomorrow may be too late. 701. Once you get that marked, I'd like for you to turn to 287. 287. I love the Lord.
What a beautiful, appropriate song for the lesson tonight. To love the Lord and to trust Him. We've been talking about some on Sunday nights about what it means for Jesus to be our Lord, the Lordship of Christ. Tonight, we're going to look at trusting in the Lord and putting our trust in Him. Have you ever had anybody ask, say to you, just trust me? You know, trust me. I want you to trust me. You can trust me in what we're talking about, what we're doing, and so on. Has God said that to us? God has said to us, especially through Jesus Christ, because what he's done for us, the song of what we just sang about, well, we can trust in the Lord. And tonight we're going to take a little bit different look at this. We're going to look at it from the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 125, starting in verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Do you like the mountains? I really like the mountains. When I lived in Washington State, I lived in central Washington, which was kind of a desert. And then there was the Cascade Mountains as you drove towards the sea or towards the Pacific Ocean. But those Cascade Mountains, there's some really big mountains there. And you had to drive through the mountains to get to see my son, which lived over by Seattle area. But those mountains were just, I don't know, there was just something about them. I did it many times, but they just seemed to get more beautiful all the time. One time, I drove through them in the middle of a snowstorm. And, you know, for a while you couldn't see much at all. I had to put chains on, and I never put chains on my car before, but I had to put chains on. But when the clouds began to clear, or the snow didn't was quite so heavy, you looked up and all these beautiful mountains were snow covered. But you know what? Every time I went through, they were the same. They were the same mountains. They hadn't changed. Now, just think about what this says here. Of course, Mount Zion is close to, you know, and we hear about it a lot in the Bible. It can't be moved, it said, but abides forever. It's always there. I imagine that today probably it's a whole lot like what it was when Jesus was there. That's what our Lord is to us. He abides forever. He's always going to be there for us. He is not going to change. Not like it talks about, not like shifting shadows, you know, the Bible talks about. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, the Lord surrounds his people from this time and forever. And even more today than in the time of the Psalms. Of course, these books are written in the time of the Israelites. But here we see that it's talking to us about how they are and how they surround us. Jesus surrounds us with his might, his unchangingness, his strength. And we abide in him. We live there. There's towns in the mountains. You think, well, how could there be towns much in the mountains? But they're there, they're surrounded. You know, I sometimes wondered what it would be like to live in the mountains all the time. My favorite place, I think, though, would be where there's mountains right next to the ocean, right next to a sea, so you could have the sea and the mountains together. And that would be a beautiful time, too. In Psalms 126, starting in verse 1, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Are you so filled with the joy of the Lord that you find yourself filled with laughter? I don't often think about that, what it means to, but there's songs that we sing, rejoice in the Lord, always in songs of joy and hallelujah, praise Jehovah, you know, songs like that, that fill me with joy. I mean, it's joyful to praise the Lord. And then they said to the nations, the Lord has done great things for them, and he's done great things for us. What has God done for you? Where do you live, and what has God done for you that you can say, thank you, Lord, for all that you do? Our Lord, if you remember what we've talked about so far, about the Lordship, he's the master, he's the king, he's the ruler of all things. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And yet he cares for us. He says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the ages. That's our Lord. He's always going to be there with us. He's always going to be standing by us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And the Lord has done great things for us. Of course, like our song said tonight, the great thing that he has done for us is that he saved us from our sins. He died on the cross for us. He did these great things. He didn't, as a human being, he could barely stand to do it. God, if it be your will, let these things pass from me. He knew where he was going. He knew what the call was for him to do, and yet he did it for us. He's done great things for us, and we are glad. Don't you rejoice, even though you know the suffering of Christ, don't you rejoice in what Christ has done for you on the cross? To know the blessings, what it means to have a Jesus a part of our eternity and making us a part of his eternity. Then in Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's easy to be afraid, isn't it? It's easy to fear life, fear the unknown, fear what we don't know. We fear that things are going to go bad. I don't know why, as human beings, many times we go to the negative. Oh, this is awful. This is going to, terrible things are going to happen because of this. And we, woe is me, type of attitude. But why do we fear? We don't need to be afraid when the Lord is our strength of our life. It says, though an army may encamp against us, my heart shall not fear. Though we may rise against, though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Think about the Israelites. Think about how many times that they fought battles. Once they fought that first, got through that main battle of Ai, that little city that caused several thousand to die, they began to trust in the Lord. The Bible never tells us again that one soldier of the Israelite army died in all the battles that they made in fighting against their enemy. It doesn't say 1,000 died here or 10,000 died there. No, it said that God was with them. They knew that God was with them as they came in and they conquered the land of Israel and overtook all the enemies that they did, that God was with them and took care of them. And there's a psalm later on, and I didn't look it up, but I remember it here. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people. Now think about that. And it doesn't, the numbers don't matter. Remember when the prophet went out there and he had 20,000 or 30,000 soldiers, and ended up God bringing them down to 300, right? And they won the battle. I guess thousands and thousands of the enemy. Then one time when Jerusalem was surrounded by the Syrians, and there was, I think, 180,000 people. And yet they were afraid. They were starving the Israelites out in Jerusalem. And God said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. And the next day they went out, and the whole army was dead. Whole army was gone. Not just left, but dead. God had taken care of them. Not one soldier had to fight against them because God was fighting for them. Though the army may encamp against us, we don't have to be afraid. And then in verse 4, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me. In his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Do we seek? And of course, he's talking about the physical temple here in this case. But what we're talking about, who is our temple? What is our temple? Jesus is our temple. Jesus has the temple of God. He is our high priest forever, right? Our righteous interceder. Jesus is that one for us, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Where do we want to dwell all the days of our eternity? In heaven, right? That's going to be the eternal temple of God, because God is its light. God is the one there. We don't have to offer sacrifices, because Jesus has already made that sacrifice. In this time of trouble, he protects us. And we have times of trouble, don't we? There's times when it seems like things are, I have no answer for it. What does the New Testament say? That we should trust in him. Faith, see it by faith and not by sight, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to rely upon him and to trust in him. and he shall set me upon a set me high on a rock. Set me high up where I'm protected and watch over us. That's our God. Then in Psalms 128, verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Now let's stop for a minute. Fear the Lord. Understand that we need to understand that God is not saying we should be shaking in our boots, but that we should know his power and what he's able to do. Who walks, blessed is everyone who walks in his ways. Walk in the way. Jesus said, walk in the light as I am in the, walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of his son shall continually cleanse us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. God is saying, I'm going you, God tells, of course, the Corinthians that they should work and to not be lazy. God says, if as you do your work, I am going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to bless you. And your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants. I'm not sure about that word, plant salt, around your table. Well, we know about our families, and our families are very important to us. The children are important. And then he says about our grandchildren as well. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The man shall be blessed who fears the Lord. In other words, who puts our trust in him, knowing he is the power, that he is the God, he is our God, and that he is going to protect us and watch over us. You know, as I speak about this, does it sound like, in a way, if you excuse me, and I shouldn't say this about your own preaching, does it sound like a broken record, kind of? God is our protector. God is our strength. God is going to watch over us. God is taking care of us. You know why it should sound that way? Because God says it over and over and over again. The thing that we have to do is believe it. Do we believe it, that God is there for us? Again, in Psalms 128, verse 5, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. You know, it's grandchildren are a great treasure for those that have grandchildren and know them. They are such a blessing in our lives. And of course, you know, God is going to see the good of all Jerusalem all the days of your life. God's not going to quit on you, on us. He's not. As long as we walk with him, we walk with him to the very end of our lives. This says that God will be with us all the days of our life, and peace be upon us. We will have peace as we rely, as we put our faith in him. It brings us peace to know that we can get through this life with him. Therefore, when we trust in the Lord, we are going to be strengthened, protected, and blessed in all areas of our lives, all areas. And God is not going to say, well, you know, that's too bad about that part of your life. No. And now, of course, we have to understand, in all areas of life, as we walk with him, as we put our trust in him, as we are obedient to him, we know that God is going to be with us and protect us in all aspects of our life. God wants us to succeed in life as far as his way and his truth and the faith in him. And he'll protect us and care for us through life. That doesn't mean everything's going to be, well, as my dad would say, hunky-dory. You know, everything is not going to be just perfect by our perspective. But what's important to God is our walk with him, our life with him. Why don't you come and put your trust in the Lord today? Put your trust in him. Walk with him. Just let go and be his. Why don't you come to him now as together we stand and sing.
Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. There's dangers in death and delaying. Except God's saving grace. His life on the cross he has given. Oh, come while yet you may. He's earnestly pleading, oh, may no delay. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. The judgment day forever is coming. Prepare ye for that day.
Once again, I want to thank everyone for coming, and you know that we have every opportunity to be here, and I want to encourage everyone to encourage the ones around us. We talked this morning in class about stepping up and adding to what we already know. We talked about our growth of the how we can interact with people and evangelize. And once again, I want to encourage everybody to do that, to grow in the Lord in service of Him. Is there any announcements that needs made that's not already been made today? Anybody have any announcements? David, would you do dismiss us, please?
Let's pray. Father, we ask that you bless us this evening. We're thankful for the opportunity we've had to be in assembly and with one another in fellowship and to hear more of your word proclaimed. Father, we ask that you help your word take root in our hearts, that we'll have more trust in you. And by trust, we mean we can not be fearful of the day coming forth, that day when we face you in judgment, not because we're righteous, Father, but because we've been washed in the blood of your Son. We know we can stand before you as Christ-like. And Father, we look forward to that day. But until that day, Father, help us keep trusting you every day. Help us to share the word of the Lord, your word, Father, with others, to where they can have that same comfort, that same reliability that we know that the gospel brings. Help us, Father, in our daily ministry to our fellow man. Help us, Father, to live like Christians. Help us to be recognized as Christians by our speech, our lifestyle, our habits. Help people to recognize, Father, that there is something different about us, and help them to be curious and help us to be willing to share. Let us see our opportunities as we come about day by day in interacting with others. Something as simple as, Father, running into someone at the grocery store. Help us, Father, to be able to invite them to come and hear for themselves. Invite them into study, Father, to listen to the things that's going on in their life, Father, to have compassion on them, to help us provide cards for opportunities to share your love and your fellowship with them. Father, bless the world as we know it, Father. We have a lot of conflicts going on in the world, Father. And help us to recognize, Father, that area that's in such conflict over there, that they have the same blood and the same creator of God in heaven. And help us to recognize that we have a lot more similarities than we have differences. And help us, Father, to all be ruled by Christ and not by men. Be with us now as we separate, Father. Help us not to separate from your love or from the fellowship that we have with you and one another. In Christ's name, amen.
David mentioned that there's boxes back there that need to be delivered.
Speaking of evangelistic opportunities, there's still a few boxes. How many is back there, Doug?
I haven't looked today.
There's still a few boxes to deliver, four or five boxes to deliver to new movers, and that's an opportunity to welcome them to our community and to let them know that the church would love to have them with us at any time that they feel they can. So pick up one.